Well, good evening to each and every one of you out there in Ambit Land. My name is David Nunez. I'm an executive consultant from Edinburgh, Texas, and it is my privilege and honor to be your co-host on tonight's Ambit Energy Sunday Night Business Builders Call. We're going to go ahead and get started, and without further ado, I want to introduce our very special featured speaker for this evening. This gentleman needs no introduction throughout Ambit Land, but just in case if this is your very first time on this call, I want to go ahead and just tell you a little bit about this gentleman. He is an Ambit Energy Ambassador Club member. He's been a top income earner since the second year of the company. He is the inaugural recipient of the Thompson Leadership Award. And this gentleman is a man who has trained hundreds of thousands of people in how to build a sales and marketing organization, not just in our company, but previously with XL Telecommunications. So without further ado, help me welcome my very dear friend, national consultant, Brian McClure. Brian, can you hear me?
I can. I appreciate those kind words, David, and welcome everybody to tonight's call. I want to lead in by reviewing a little bit about last week's call, and hopefully, and I think most of the people that get on this call get on it week in and week out, but we talked a little bit about the psychology and dynamics behind the mental side of our business. You know, you have the mechanical execution of get the written list, do the invitation, do the presentation, and validation. You know, I'm not going to go into that, but there's a mechanical way that we build our business, and that, like any other business, evolves over the years. The best example I can give you of that is, you know, take a Dell computer, for example. You know, back in the day, they became the largest desktop computer company in the country. And probably in the world, but definitely in this country, they passed up Compaq, and then Compaq was bought by Hewlett Packard, and so they became number one. And things evolved, the industry changed, everything went upside down when everybody started using laptops. You know, when's the last time you went to the store and bought a desktop? You know, people started buying laptops, and Dell Computer became the number one manufacturer of laptops in the country by far. And then things evolved, and there was a short stint where tablets were the big thing. And Dell didn't participate in that. They missed that window. And then, of course, today most people do their internet and do their messaging and everything off of their phone. I'm talking to you off of my cell phone tonight. So things evolve. You know, the mechanics of how to build our organization, how to build Ambit Energy has evolved as well. And again, I don't want to go into that tonight. Hopefully in a week or two, we can get into the mechanically how to build a sales and marketing organization. But I want to talk more on the mental side. And the point that I wanted to make in talking about the mechanical side is that change is inevitable. Nothing is going to stay the same. You know, our industry has changed. The margins have shrunk considerably. The regulatory market is night and day over what it used to be. You know, it used to be very friendly to deregulation, and the states, you know, were moving towards deregulation. Now a lot of states that have moved towards, have deregulated are now moving and passing rules and regulations that are re-regulating. They don't ever come back necessarily and say, hey, we're going back to a monopoly, but they make the set of rules so difficult to make money and to participate in the deregulated markets in that particular state that in essence they re-regulate the state. So regulations are changing, rates are changing, margins in the industry are changing. Everything has changed. And there's one thing that I think everybody on this call will agree with is that if there's one constant in life, that's change. But, you know, that's the mechanical part of the business. You know, I want to talk about the psychological or the mental part of the business. You know, you can take your two index fingers and put it on either temple of your head. And I encourage you to participate with me as I walk you through this. So you take your right index finger and put it on your right temple, take your left index finger and put it on your left temple. And what I'll tell you is that the game, the business that we're in is in the people business, and it's won or lost between the two index fingers on your hand. In other words, it's won or lost in the mind game, not on the mechanical game. You know, we can learn new mechanics, you know, when the pandemic came along, you know, people that had maybe heard of Zoom but had never done a Zoom, you know, back in the day it was WebEx, and they're still around, and, you know, video conferencing and so on and so forth. Well, all of a sudden, everybody had to adapt. Everybody had to do that. Look at the change that's occurred in our society because of the pandemic, you know. You know, we do curbside grocery shopping now for the most part. Go online, place an order, pick a time between such and such a time and such and such time later today or tomorrow. We pull up, you text the number that's on the sign in front of you. They bring it out, they put it in your car, and off you drive. You know, that just didn't exist before. So change is going to occur, and I want to talk from a psychological and a dynamic perspective of our business. We are constantly changing as human beings. You know, I want you to think about, you know, I'm 65 years old now, and I think back to when I was 20 years old. And, you know, somebody would pull out in front of me or do something I didn't like while I was, you know, driving the car or whatever. And no telling what I would do. You know, I'd cuss them out. I'd do this. I'd do that. You know, y'all can all imagine what a 20-year-old guy that thought he ruled the world would do, right? And, you know, you think about that today. You know, if I were 20 years old, I know this, I would no more act that way in today's society than go jump off a cliff. I mean, it's liable to get you shot today, right? So things change, you know, everything changes. When the internet came along, what happened is that the information age hit. You know, back in the day, Bill Gates wrote a book about it. And now all of a sudden, information moves at the speed of light, and disinformation moves at the speed of light. You know, somebody can get on and all of a sudden it's all over the internet that thus and so happened and thus and so didn't happen. You know, or thus and so did happen, and everybody knows about it. You know, if Queen Elizabeth would have died, you know, 50 years ago, there'd be half the world today that still doesn't know she's passed, even though it's been a couple of weeks, okay? When she passed a couple of weeks ago, the whole world knew almost instantaneously. You know, I get little news flashes on my phone, and boom, you know, Queen Elizabeth passed, you know, this, that, and other thing. I mean, it was just everywhere because of the information age. And so what happens is that the world that we live in today is a lot faster. So people draw conclusions faster, people move faster, people are able to get information faster, make decisions faster. You know, things have changed. And the way we communicate has changed tremendously, you know. When I was young, you know, we didn't have cell phones. And so, you know, we'd go to the landline at the house and we'd call our friends. And if our friends weren't home, we'd call back. There was no voicemail. You would just call back until somebody answered the phone. And then if their mom answered the phone, oh, he's out riding his bike. You had to wait for him to come back and ride his bike. And then his mom would forget to tell him to call you back, and you'd have to call him back. What do you do today? You text them in 3 seconds. You know exactly where he is, what's up, what you can do, so on and so forth. I watched my son in high school, and he's graduated from college now, my youngest son, and there'd be 7 or 8 of them that were going to do something after the high school football game on Friday night or, you know, something along those lines. And, you know, it was complicated. You know, they were going to leave the game and go to such and such's house, and then they were going to go swimming it over here, and then they were going to do this, and they were going to do that. And they would go back and forth, texting for an hour, hour and a half. I said, Travis, why don't you just pick up the phone and call them? I mean, wouldn't that be easier just to call them to see all who's coming and so on and so forth? It's not the way they communicate today. You know, at Ambition, you know, had an incredible, incredible journey about the different generations, you know, the Generation Z and the Gen X and the baby boomer like I am. And one of the things that just tickled me so much, I was sitting next to Philip Eckert, who was sitting next to Steve. And And he asked, you know, all you baby boomers in here, how many of y'all have a check in your wallet? And the three of us looked at each other and we started laughing. Of course, all three of us had a check in our wallet. Well, I had a check from three different checking accounts in my wallet, you know, whereas, you know, younger people, I can remember when one of my sons had to write a check. It was the only form of payment that whatever he was buying, I think it was, I forget what it was, but it was a major purchase that they would only take a check. It was, maybe it was a passport or something. I forget what it was, but anyway, he didn't have a check. He had never ordered any checks. He did not have a check, and it just blew my mind. And so the way we operate, the way we think, the dynamics and the psychology of the world we live in today has changed. And last week I talked about in the sales and marketing organization, you have about a third of the people coming into the business, a third of the people that are in the business, and a third that are headed out of the business, you know, for whatever the reason. And the first third, those people have hope. The people that are in the business have belief because they're getting checks with their name on it. And then the people that are leaving the business have disbelief, you know. Well, I want to talk about you personally, okay? I want you to, you know, in fact, if you're close to a bathroom or you're, you know, somewhere where you can look in a mirror and ask yourself these questions as I kind of go through them with you, you know, and because, you know, I want you to look from within yourself. You know, we always have a tendency to compare ourselves to other people. Oh, such and such is making, you know, $100,000 a year. What's wrong with me? And, you know, I'm making, you know, $50,000 a year. What's wrong with this person's got more talent, knows more people than I do, that's making, you know, $500 a year. You know, I mean, it's we're always comparing ourselves to other people, which is a huge, huge, huge mistake. You should never, ever do that. But I want to talk about from a personal perspective, because life beats us up, okay? I want you to introspectively look at yourself and say, am I in hope or am I in belief or am I in disbelief? And if you apply it to different parts of your life, you might be in total belief. Like let's say that your Lord and Savior is Jesus Christ, like mine is, and you have a total belief in that. Okay, so you can be in belief when it comes to spiritual side of your life. But yet, let's say you're on your third marriage and you just broke up with your most recent boyfriend or girlfriend. You've got a dysfunctional relationship with a child or a combination thereof, or you're constantly going from job to job to job because you can't get along with your boss. You might have a total disbelief in yourself when it comes to relationships, you know, so you can look at all the different aspects of your life, whether it's relationships, whether it's the ability, you know, financial abilities for you to make money, whether it's a spiritual side of your life. Let's take the physical side of your life. You know, you either believe that you're fit and that you've got that under control, or you have hope that you can. You know, most people, I think in that area, if I'm guessing, live in hope. You know, man, I hope someday I can lose this weight and keep it off, you know. But there are other people that are just fit as anything. I see these people that are, you know, advertise these fitness programs that are 65 years old and they look like they're 35 years old. And so they're in total belief of their health and their ability in that area of their life. And then there's people in disbelief, you know, people that have just given up, you know, I'll never lose weight, you know, I'm diabetic, I'm this and that, to the point where, you know, disbelief of ever being able to quit smoking, yet they know it's going to give them lung cancer. So all the different, everybody is different when they have either hope, in other words, I'm dreaming that it's going to get better, or they have belief that it is what it is, or they have disbelief, you know, or upset. You know, a lot of times it's called upset. So if you look at each of the different aspects of your life, I'll give you a homework assignment that says, look at all the different aspects of your life. Look at your health, look at your wealth, look at your relationships, look at yourself spiritually. You know, look at the different parts of your life. You know, look at your, you know, and then you can break those down. Relationships, okay? Maybe you have a great relationship with your children, but you've got a horrible relationship with your boss or a horrible relationship with your next door neighbor or whatever. So, you know, you kind of tend to be a positive person or a negative person, and tend to kind of be good with relationships or kind of tend to be bad with relationships, but that can go over all over the board as well. And so as you look in the mirror, I want you to think through, okay, what, where am I? You know, I'm in hope and dreams that it's going to get better. I'm in absolute belief that it is fine and everything is good. Or I'm in total disbelief, you know, I'm going to just keep smoking. And if I get cancer of lungs, I'm going to get cancer of lungs. You know, I just, you know, I'm a diabetic and I'm going to eat candy bars all night. You know, it's, you know, if you're in disbelief of your ability to ever get better, or you don't have a want to get better, then guess what? You're going to be in disbelief in that aspect of your life, and that's going to cause upset. So when you're in belief, when you're in belief, you're basically positive. When you're in hope, you know, you're more positive than you are negative. But when you're in disbelief, you're negative. And so if you start to look at different aspects of your life of, you know, where am I positive, where am I negative, you're basically going to find out where there's belief, where there's hope, and where's there's disbelief. There's a correlation there. You know, they're congruent with one another. You know, if you're unhappy about your health, okay, you're not going to feel good. You're in disbelief. You know, you're upset all the time. You can't ever get comfortable with it. You don't understand why you lose 20 pounds and then all of a sudden you can't keep it together and you put 25 pounds back on. You know, that merry-go-round, that, you know, it's like that hamster getting in that cage. Just you're going 90,000 miles an hour in life. And so here's what I want you to think about. You think about all those different aspects. You think about whether you're in hope, belief, disbelief, okay, all those different aspects of your life. And then ask yourself a question of how, with all that going on in my life, I'm happy with this, unhappy with that, happy with this, unhappy with that, whatever it is, you know, all that upset that goes on in your life, how in the world do you think you're going to go build a successful business? How do you think you're going to go build a successful business when you have all this upset? So the game is won or lost between those two index fingers. It's won or lost in the mind. So you get to make a decision. One of the things I've always tried to teach my kids, and I remind myself of this constantly, it's not necessarily something that I'm real great at either. But the difference is the differentiation between want and need. You know, I was riding with a friend over to Houston today. We went and saw a Major League Baseball record for most consecutive quality starts being broken. It was a great game. The Astros won, and the pitcher, Valdez, you know, has the all-time Major League record with 25 consecutive quality starts. I know for a lot of y'all, you're going, okay, what's this got to do with anything? Well, it's a big deal to me as an Astro fan and a baseball fan, but we were driving over, and we were just, you know, like friends would do, we were talking about different things, and he was talking about something that was important to him in his life right now. And I said, you know, what you're failing to do is you're failing to differentiate between what you need and what you want. You know, what he needs in his life is a new vehicle, four wheels. You know, he hauls equipment around sometimes. So, he can't get a little small car. You know, he needs some sort of Tahoe, Infiniti, you know, QX80, and it's what I drive, you know, an SUV type vehicle. Well, the bottom line is that's what he needs, because his current vehicle is, you know, he's constantly spending money on repairing it, and, you know, it's not totally unreliable, but it's going to get that way. What he wants as he wants at K&M to go tool around the countryside in the hill country in Texas with his friends. So he's going through all these gyrations to come up with a way to be able to get this Can-Am, and he's disregarding his need of a new vehicle. So if you start to think about what is it that I need and what is it that I want, and what you'll find is a lot of the upset in your life is over the want. I remember sitting in church one time, and the pastor said, it's hard to be grateful for what you have when all you're worried about is what you don't have. And it just hit me like a ton of bricks. I said, man, there have been no truer words ever spoken. You know, if you're all you're ever worried about is what you don't have, you know, I don't have a big house, I don't have a nice car, I don't have this, I don't have that, I don't have that. And at the same time, you don't acknowledge and celebrate what you do have. You know, you've got your health, you've got your family, you've got a roof over your head. You have a vehicle that'll get you from point A to point B. Do you know that, I don't know the exact number, but I would imagine that, you know, 90% of the population of the world doesn't have a vehicle. There's no mode of transportation besides the 2 feet on their, on their legs. I mean, the bottom line is that if you look at what you have and what you're blessed with, and quit worrying about what you don't have, what'll happen is that you'll start to come positive. You'll start to evolve out into something. Oh my goodness gracious! You know, I live in the greatest country in the world. I live in a great part of that country. You know, I have the ability to go to the grocery store and buy food that's not going to poison me. You know, I can drink water out of the tap. I may choose not to, but gasoline's readily available. You know, the small things that you take for granted are things you should be grateful for. And so what happens is when all you worry about is what you're not grateful for, you start to fall into disbelief because you don't have any of that. Life's not going good because I don't have the fancy car, the nice house, or the this or the that or the other thing that I want. And so what happens is that negative little man or little woman I've talked about for years, just constantly chattering in the back of your head, you know, causing upset, causes you upset. And my point to it, as it revolves around it and to make my point towards your ambient energy business, is when you have that upset, when you have all that swirl, when all you're worried about is the wants of your life, and you don't focus on the needs of your life, what happens is that all of a sudden the real true opportunity for you to make a positive change in your life disappears because it just gets sucked up into the vortex that we call life. And so when you have upset, what you have to do is you have to consciously remove yourself with it. When you live in the world of want versus the world of need, you've got to remove yourself from it. And what you'll find is you start to remove yourself from negative people. You start to remove yourself from a situation that causes you upset, and you start to have a little bit more peace. And you've got to work on all the different aspects of your life. What will happen is, from a psychological and a dynamic driver of your life, will be a positive influence on your ambient energy business. So I would tell you, focus on what's between the two index fingers, that gray matter. Focus on the mental game. You know, yes, you need to learn how to do Zooms. Yes, you need to learn how the changes have occurred on the mechanical side, how we build a sales and marketing organization, because they're different than when we started 15 years ago. Just like using a cell phone and a smartphone and smart TVs and all that, it's all different. Everything's changed, okay? And it's going to continue to change. But the bottom line is that if you live in a world of upset, there's just so much flying around you, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter, because you're not going to be successful, because you're in that vortex of life that just keeps sucking you in and sucking you in and sucking you in and sucking you in. So a couple takeaways. Begin to differentiate what you want and what you need. You know, what you need is you need oxygen. What you need is you need water. What you need is you need food. What you need is shelter over your head. You know, these are things that you need, okay? But nice new fancy purse or shoes or nice fancy car, those are all wants. You don't need that. You know, you've got a purse, you got a pair of shoes, you got a vehicle, get you from point A to point B. But the wants will cause you upset, and the needs will give you comfort if you'll focus on the needs. So takeaway number one is differentiate the between wants and needs. And then the other thing that I would ask you to do is really analyze and begin to differentiate of where you have hope in your life. You know, you're hoping and dreaming that this is going to come to fruition for you. Where you have belief in your life, so you know unequivocally it's exactly where you want to be in your life. And then where you have disbelief. Get rid of the disbelief. You know, you can identify a pain point in your life. Get rid of it. Eliminate it. Okay? And try to get yourself so the majority of your thought process, the majority of the mental gymnastics that go on in your mind are in the hope and the belief area, and then work to get them all into the belief area in all aspects of your life. You know, the people that are most successful are the people that have differentiated between want and need. They're able to plan for the future, and they put themselves in belief. You know, they put themselves in belief because they don't allow the negatives. They don't allow the small people. They don't allow all the stuff that gets in most people's way getting their way. They just go and do it. You know, I love Nike's logo. Just do it. Just do it. But just do it on the mental side. And I think what you'll find is if you really focus on the mental side, not as much on the mechanical side, but if you focus on the mental side, what will happen is the mechanical side will come that much easier. You'll meet with more success in building a sales and marketing organization. And, you know, you're going to be happier. The bottom line is, you know, be happy, right? So anyway, I appreciate everybody getting on tonight's call. I'm going to ask David to open it back up and let everybody say good night. And get back on the call next week. There'll be some great information shared with you. And get your people on the call week in and week out. Good night, everybody.
All right, Brian, thank you so much. Good night. And thank you so much for everything that you do. So, team, you guys heard it here from one of Ambit Energy's best. I'm going to go ahead and unmute the line so we can wish Mr. Brian McClure a good night. So thank you all so much again, and have a great night.